Welcome back to Community Connections, and I've got with me our local MP, Cindy McLeish. But just before we talk to Cindy, and I think we're going to be talking about the roads anyway, but we do have been advised by one of our listeners on the Warburton Highway, just a few hundred metres up from where the highway turns at Lilydale, as you turn off to go up Warburton Highway there, a few hundred metres up, there's a tree across the road. Emergency services are present. Best to avoid the Warburton Highway, so and that'll probably be for an hour or so while they get this tree down. So just keep off there for a while if you possibly can. Well, if not, you're probably going to be sitting there going nowhere. Anyway, welcome to Cindy McLeish. How are you, Cindy?
Good, Helen. Good. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody.
The first thing I've got to say to you, Cindy, have you got over the trip for the Kokoda Trail?
I didn't pull up sore at all, and it's like I never did it. It's
Gee, you were lucky, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I don't think...
Well prepared. Well prepared.
Maybe I was well prepared. Yeah, no, you know, I think I'd love to do it again, but I don't know when I could fit it in, so...
Yeah.
Would you,
you'd do it again, would you, after having done it?
I would. I remember there were some times during the thing, I forgot I'm never walking up any hill ever.
And you probably never thought you'd ever want to do that ever again.
Exactly. But no, after I stopped and I wasn't sore or anything, and it didn't take
a physical toll after. Like, it was really jolly hard during it, but didn't hurt at all. So I thought, oh, I could probably do that again. But, you know, just got to find the time. That's the hardest thing, I guess.
That's probably true. Now, we had a police inspector in, I think it was, talking about the road forum up in the Yarra Glen. So you were there, or you've heard all about it?
I was there. There was a reasonable crowd there. And mostly it was members of the emergency services. You know, there were a lot of local police there, which was great. Yep. There were also SES, I think, and CFA, quite a number of CFA members were there. Yep. Not so many members of the community.
Would have been great to have got more of the community, wouldn't it?
It would, because one of the reasons that they had it, and it was outlined at the start, was, you know, the community sentiment was that they wanted to see more police on the road, and they wanted to have, you know, more forums with direct involvement with the police, so they can talk to them and ask them questions. So that was why it was had. You know, big room at Yarra Glen at the racetrack there, plenty of easy parking.
Yep.
I think I can't remember if it was a great night. I don't know that it was a particularly great night, as in weather-wise. But, yeah, it would have been good to see more people. But what they did is they talked about the fatalities generally across Victoria, and then, you know, they tried to hone things into the Yarra Ranges. So in 2023, of the 295 fatalities, there were 7 lost in the Yarra Ranges.
Sure. And, of course, the other thing, we should mention, Cindy, it's not only the person that dies, it's the family and the friends and everyone else who gets involved. Like, there could be 30 people that suffer because of one accident, couldn't there?
Easily. And if it's a younger person, you know, like, they'll have a whole year level at school, even if it's not your, you know, close friend, but it's still someone that you knew well. But there were 6 already this year, 6 lives lost in the Yarra Ranges.
Already,
yeah. So, you know, and one of the common questions, I guess, was, you know, people really wanted to know about, well, how do you prioritise about where you do your policing, or where Vic Roads do some of their work? And Vic Roads representatives were there too. And you know, like, it's no secret Vic Roads seem to be pretty broke, like everywhere else. But, you know, the police have things for different times of the year. You know, they'll have something, a summer policing program, which will be a little bit different from, I think they called it Snow Bunny.
Snow Bunny.
I think it was Operation Triangle in the summer, where they work between the Melba Highway, the Reefton and Marysville. They work in that that area, and that was their summer one. That was Operation Triangle, and in winter it was Operation Snow Bunny. Where they have speed and distraction focus. They do pick up a lot of speeding at that time through our roads. People sort of went, well, how do you prioritise? Who tells you what do you do? And they talked about intelligence officers there, that, you know, it all goes to whether it's about rails or stop signs and rumble strips. It all goes from the police's intelligence to the Department of Transport, and they have a look and consider other factors as well. And, you know, the Department of Transport, and here's the kicker, they provide the information to the government. So so then who knows? So, you know, there is this intelligence collected from the police about what they notice, and it does go to the Department of Transport, who then send it on to the government, who make decisions. But, you know, you do want to think that the really hot spots, the black spots, the high priority areas do get fixed.
Because someone told me, and I'm going to ask you, and this might not, you might know, but I'll still ask, because a fatality can cost up to $1 million, can't it, by the time of all the trauma and all the people are, that are involved in that. Someone told me that a fatality could... It's not hard for... And I guess if someone is a quadriplegic or something because of an accident...
Oh, costs enormous amount of money.
Could be a lot of money. So it's not only a case of if we want to protect the lives, but it's also a lot cheaper to keep people alive too.
It is. And when you have somebody who suffers quadriplegia or paraplegia, you know, wheelchair, homes get modified, cars get modified, there's a whole lot of other costs that TAC pick up, and which is what TAC's there to do. But, yeah, there's lots of costs. One of the things that they talked about too was motorbike riders, and you often see the signs, particularly over towards on the Eltham Yarra Glen Road, they often have signs about how many motorcycle fatalities or, you know, in the last 10 years, I think it might have been. And the most lives lost in motorbike riders are between the ages of 30 and 39.
Oh.
Yeah, young men. And the highest number of serious injuries are the age between 40 and 49, and most are on a Sunday.
Out for a ride.
Out for a ride.
Yeah,
91% of men.
And I wonder how many of those are guys who rode a motorbike when they were 17 or 18 or 19 and get on them when they're in their 40s and think that they're still a 70, an 18 or 19-year-old guy as well. Cindy, I've got to take a quick break. But I must say, it's a bit disappointing because the police gave the opportunity for people to come along and say, well, this is where we think the problems are, didn't it?
Yeah, and to listen to understand where the stats are so that they can really see what's happening and know that the police know that and that they work with that data to try and work out their best response.
Because often you'll hear people say, oh, I travelled all day and never saw a police car. But
I see plenty.
But obviously if that's a road where there's not a lot of problems, then they don't need to be there. Whereas
they'll be somewhere else.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back with more. Cindy, I believe you had a school group come in to see you in Parliament, to see what happens in Parliament, and they asked a question that's on a lot of our lips. What's the update on this Montrose roundabout? Because I go through it often and I can't believe it's taking so long.
Well, they're halfway through.
Is that all?
It's actually funny because at the Roads Forum, it came up as one of the issues that people wanted to look at.
I'm not surprised.
with that roundabout, and they said that they're halfway through it and it really is trying to address congestion and the pedestrian safety and, make sure that it works, because the roundabout stopped working effectively the way it was. They said there was too much congestion. So they're taking a look, but they did say it was half completed. So that's no good news. But the kids from St Bridget's in Healesville were
so they know about it too.
Well, they were in Parliament and they were doing a role play. They have people who are the speakers and they have the Premier and the opposition. They set it all up really nicely and it goes for quite a while. But I went in there and I chatted to them, and they can do it in the chamber because it wasn't a sitting day. And I was in there chatting to them and they'd obviously talked about local issues. And as they talked about the flooding at Queen's Park being a real issue for them. And it is. I need to just tell the council this is what St Bridget's were very keen on. And then one kid said, and that roundabout at Montrose, and they all go, yeah. We got stuck for 20 minutes going down there to sport the other day. What's happening? It's a, And so the kids at St Bridget had asked that question. And then I noticed on Facebook my colleague, the member for Evelyn, which is based in Lilydale, Bridget had also asked question in Parliament. And I thought, oh, what a hoot. So we've sent that saying, look, it just so happens that Bridget raised it in Parliament. So he's just showing them how the process works. Yep. So she's raised it. She hasn't got the response yet. And then it came up at the Roads Forum as well. And I travel through it. I've probably been there at okay times, not at times where it's been really bad.
So halfway through it, but I reckon it's been going for, nearly 12 months? So have we got another 12 months to go, or what do you think?
Well, they said halfway through. Vic Rhodes were
there. That's what worries me, though.
Well, when you have a look at the work that's being done there and you think, what else have they got to do, because it's fairly extensive and there are workers. They're probably not there to... I don't know how much work they do on a rainy day.
Yeah. but it's been going for, a long while. All right, we'll take another quick break and then we'll be back with more. course, that was Olivia Newton-John and Let Me Be There. Cindy, you want to talk about caravan parks?
Well, I do. Yep. And we have some fabulous caravan parks around here, ones that yep. do really well. We've got the one at Warburton, the holiday park down there that's next to the splash park. And, yep. you know, they've done a lot of work to upgrade that. And we've got a big four at Healesville and lots of others dotted around. And they're really, really popular.
Yep.
But I have been involved with, for various reasons, with the caravan park industry.
A bit, yep.
Yeah, and David Pratt, who people might know from Warburton, has yeah. been the president of the Caravan Parks Association, so Vic Parks, for the last few years. And David has done an enormous amount of work down at Warburton with the community, like trying to get the Sereni Centre, work out how that can be repurposed for social housing. He's looking at the Edgewater, which is the old sanitarium factory, how yeah. to help broker and get that moving. So
there's nothing happening there, is there?
No, nothing's been happening for a while, and yep. he's got the guy who owns it enthused again to get that looking great and, you know, done up. So he does all these things locally while he's running the caravan park. But not only that, he was president of the Vic Parks, the Caravan Parks Association, and he did an enormous amount of work for the association, and that's a representative body for all the caravan parks. So, you know, caravan parks are usually in the best spots in the towns.
Yes, yeah. and they're a bit different now to what they were 30 years ago, aren't they?
Well, yeah, it's a complete holiday park these days, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yeah.
And, you know, often they're on a river.
Yep.
And so we had quite a number of caravan parks with the October 22 floods get wiped out virtually. You yep. know, the caravans were underwater, big bar a foot at the top sort of thing, and David was so helpful to all of those at the caravan parks, making sure that they had what they needed, helped them manoeuvre through, and he could brief me on all the ones in my area, but he could brief every Member of Parliament to say, here's what's happening with the ones in your area. And there was a group up there from Aspen Lodge, which is in Maroopna, a couple that got one of the awards because they... their resilience in, you know, recovering and rebuilding was pretty remarkable, because they, you know, they almost lose everything. And, you know, the couple said, look, we thought about walking away, cutting our losses and walking away, but they've bounced back. But they still think, oh, maybe we should, you know, like it was really hard work. But David was there always supporting them. So at the industry awards night the other night, it was a few weeks back actually, and it was in Big Do down in Acadinia Park, you know.
It was at night,
so the players weren't there, although someone told me during the day they had seen Tom Hawkins running around, and he was a bit proppy. I thought, oh, he won't be back. But anyway, what they decided is that night they've got the David Pratt Unsung Hero Award in his in recognition of the work that he did as the president. And because he did so much work for the industry and the members behind the scenes, and some of it's lobbying for some of the legalities with parks and Parks Victoria, with contracts and things like that with the Crown Land. He was always doing all of that. So, you know, whether it was guests at his own residence, tenants, customers, like, he was doing so much. And they had a new bursary award to recognise a park or a member employee or contractor or volunteer that went above, beyond the requirements. So the David Pratt Unsung Hero Award. So
that's terrific,
isn't it great?
Oh, yeah, that's terrific.
Because he really does do so much, and you don't see that. You know, you see him down at Warburton at the park.
Yep.
People down there, the Advancement League, will probably see him involved in activities with them. Council will see him. But then he does this, all this other stuff with the Caravan Parks Association.
It's unbelievable, like, isn't it?
Yeah, so I thought that was lovely, lovely recognition of him.
Yep.
But, you know, the association are there to really represent the interests and the issues associated by caravan park operators.
Because very often they're on Crown Land too, aren't they?
Very often. Sometimes they're private, but very often they're on Crown Land.
Yep.
You know, they'll be, I guess you go to the major beach resorts, you know, the caravan parks are pretty well always right beside the beach in the best position.
Sure.
and they're all on bends of rivers. You know, they all have, it's great, but it does rain sometimes.
Absolutely. We'll take another quick break. We'll be back with more.
Tried to read self-help books by the dozen, tried to be
It didn't do no good. Then I tried squeezing in the latest fashion. Then my diets ran from Slim Fast to Atkins. Realized after typo class, I don't want to make you happy that bad. I ain't changing nothing just to have your loving. One who sees all my flaws and imperfections and believes I'm exactly what he likes. That's sounding like a little more my type. I ain't changing nothing just to have your loving. Yeah, I'm all right with who I am. I don't need to be a better woman. I just need a better man. Just need a better man.
Now we're back with Cindy McLeese. Cindy, you're saying that or you want to mention about the CFA. I know a friend of mine has just got one for being he's down in Gippsland for 50 years in the being a member of the CFA. Like, there are some of these people that just give their whole lives to the CFA, don't they?
Oh, look, they do. And it's nothing to go to an awards night or an awards lunch. And I was just at the Hoddles Creek one the other day.
Yeah.
And to see people that might get a 5-year service recognition, or you might get an outstanding, or 50 years, or you might get all various medals.
Unreal.
Because people do give so much.
Yep.
So much. So I was at the Hoddles Creek one the other day. They had Sunday lunch just at the home hotel in Launch, just there, which was good. And they had, really sadly, Leonie Turner, the previous captain, passed away.
Oh,
while
we
she
met
was
her.
Still captain. Yeah.
Did she? Didn't
yeah.
know that.
Oh, look, she was just really, really lovely, Leonie, and was fighting always to get a new and better station, always, you know. And they're not giving up because it's just been a really slow process for them. But at the same time, you know, I was at, and I think Leonie was awarded an outstanding service medal, which is one that people don't really know about. Mm. And even at the lunch, I think that's what it's called, when people were, when it was being awarded, people were saying, I didn't know about that. And there's probably other people that could get these particular type of medals, but yeah. because they're not very common, people don't really, aren't nominating people because they don't know about it.
Yeah.
And if I can, I took a photo of it. If I can find that photo next break, I'll have a look to confirm what it was that Leonie got. And we also had the, I went to the Panton Hill CFA. They had their open day. And they do, like, when the brigades do their open days, they have really cool stuff for kids.
They do, you know, too, don't they?
Yeah.
They really do.
The one I saw the other day at Panton Hill for their 85 years, they had little kids with the hose, and you can push along a little fire truck type cart thing on wheels.
Can you?
Yeah, which is really good. And I've seen them at up at Millgrove, there the station. They have little houses with windows that look and the doors that look like they're on fire, and so the kids have to squirt them, and knock it down so you put the fire out. So they have really engaging stuff. They let the kids get in the trucks or on the back of trucks, and that's, you know, terrific. But the one at the Panton Hill CFA, they had, theirs was, they had a big cake, really nice cake actually, and it was cut by Tony Moller, who was the first female lieutenant in amongst the CFA volunteers. So that was pretty good, and Leonie was getting onto a good age now. But
I bet she'd have some terrific tales to tell. I bet she met some discrimination in the early days.
Well, she didn't mention that, but it was a big deal for her to be the first lieutenant and to be just over here at Panton Hill.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like when you have these people like Leonie there, but you have the modern day brigades, and people come along with kids and they drop in and out all day. Like, you know, kids pop in, you know, mum or dad take them down for an hour and they have a look around and do this and then the next, and they get recruits out of it. And that's, you know, part of the idea to make it open and accessible to get people come down to think, hey, this might be a good job, or tell somebody else, and it's a day out.
And one of the things, and I think the CFA do a terrific job, because you and I have spoken about it before, but when you look back at some of the photos of the trucks that the firefighters went out on, that there was no safety equipment, was it? They just on the back of a truck with a hose and hope for the best.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Back of the, you know, absolutely. Yeah. And they had swatters and things like that instead of, you know, and the pumps that they used to have on their backs and things. Like, it's really amazing. And to think of the 1939 fires, you know, how difficult that must have been with the lack of equipment that they have compared to nowadays.
And I mean, they had instances where the where the communications weren't all that good, and they couldn't, the trucks couldn't radio back to base and all that. I mean, in the early days, some of these firefighters put up with some terrible, terrible conditions.
Oh, absolutely. And I think about even when I was a kid, you know, and no mobile phones, no nothing. No, the communication systems were just not there. Yeah. And Dad was away for 3 weeks. Like, you don't know, you know, where he is, what part of Victoria he's on, if he's close to home or if he's a long way from home. And, you know, we've had a few fires at home, and there was a big fire one time, and the truck was from Shepparton.
Yeah.
You know? Other times where we've had, we had one a few years ago, only a few years ago, and it was all the local brigades. It was about 11 trucks from local brigades, but they could get on top of that. And it was also raining at the time. It was, you know, it had been...
That was a bit.
it had been lightning strike, and there were three in the area, but they had to, you know, get out and do that straight away. Yep. One of the things I want to mention about HODLs is they have a junior program.
Oh,
and,
yeah?
Yeah, so kids can join up, you know, when they're, I don't know, 12, I think, maybe. And there was a whole bunch of others... Oh, young men who all joined up. There were three of them who were getting service medals for a certain period of time because they'd all joined up as kids.
Terrific.
And they'd had continued involvement. And I thought that was terrific.
I've just got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
To fool him, she couldn't have made
Welcome back. We're talking to Cindy McLeish, our local MP. Cindy, you've been involved just briefly. We'll run through a few things that you've just been involved in the last few weeks.
Oh, there's always stuff going on. It's hard
to... Well, there is up here, yeah.
Which is good. It's good. It's a really active community. I'll be at Millgrove tonight for the Residents Action Group monthly meeting. It's not always easy to get to those because we, you know, Parliament's sometimes sitting. I've got other things on. So if I don't go tonight, I wouldn't be there till probably February. So heading down there tonight. But the Healesville High School, the schools do, you know, often musicals. And
yeah, they do. Terrific, aren't they?
And they are. They're lots of fun. And I went to Greece. They put that on the other day. And Daniel Glenn, who's Dad Ken, yeah, the Daniel and Ken are both in the CFA over at Healesville. And Ken is a very big singer at the Christmas carols and things like that.
Yeah.
He's a very big voice. And Daniel, I think, was directing it for the first time. And also the assistant director was Nikita Aldridge, who's a past student there. So it's always good to see them there giving back, you know, and helping out. And Daniel does the IT at the school. And I went to Whittlesey's. They had one as well. Footloose.
Oh, Footloose.
Footloose. Yeah. And I'd forgotten the story of Footloose. I think I'd only seen it once. And that also was... a lot of fun. But, you know, it's sometimes kids, you know, everyone wants to be involved in it one year and then no one the next year. Like, it's really hard. And sometimes you might get a core group of kids to get involved. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. And scouts also have not just outdoors, you know, trekking and tying knots and learning how to do really cool stuff. They also have a performing arts part of Scouts too.
Yeah.
Oh, they have the gang show, which is
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, which is really marvellous. So, yeah, I went to the gang show this year and then, you know, we've got these two performances of Grease and Footloose that I saw. But one of the things that was a bit of fun was on the weekend, Warburton Bowls Club had their Sponsors Day and Open Day as well.
Yeah.
And one thing that I thought was so much fun, we all had a bit of a go, had a bit of a practice. And then, you know, you've got the four sides to the rink and they put the jack smack in the middle and they had everybody all around, people on all four sides, and on the count of, you know, one, two, three, everyone bowled at the same time. And you had to watch your bowl and to see, and there was a dollar underneath the jack. And you wouldn't believe it, you know, the coach at the bowls club got it. But the jack got moved, but he's landed right on top of the dollar.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was so funny watching your bowl and then all of a sudden these bowls came from everywhere and all were heading to the same thing. The video footage was really fun.
Oh,
it was really,
really
good. So, yeah, I posted that on Facebook, but it was a lot of fun. And Yarra Junction have got something coming up at their bowls club shortly as well. And I think Yarra Glen, like there's something...
Because they're coming into the season, am I right, with bowls? It's a summer season, is it, with bowls?
That's right, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so they're all getting ready for pennant and things like that.
Yep.
So... And, yeah, they want to line up their sponsors. And probably the last thing that I want to mention too, some people might know about it but others might not, is the Big Red Kidney Bus. And 10 years it's been running. And what that means is that it heads to holiday spots. So if you have dialysis at Healesville or Ringwood and you want to go to Torquay, they have the bus... heads down there for a week. It goes to different places. So if you're on holiday or if you've got dialysis, you don't need to be tied to Healesville or Ringwood or Seymour. You can actually work out where it's going and book in, and so you can actually get away.
That's
and do
true,
your dialysis.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And it started from a, you know, one bloke with an idea.
Ah, that's how the best idea started.
Said to his family and they all went, yeah, Dad.
Yeah.
And 10 years later. And now they're looking at, you know, doing some of the interstate stuff as well. So people don't often know about these things. But if you do have dialysis or if you know somebody with dialysis who feels like, you know, they don't really get an opportunity to go away other than maybe overnight, this is a way that, you know, you can get
it's
away
for a
week. It's a
terrific idea.
It's a great idea, isn't it? So that was at Parliament the other day and we all, you know, popped in, had a bit of a look and they had a bit of a function to celebrate the 10 years.
So do they have a designated, like as they get towards Christmas, do they pick out and then you go to where it is sort of thing?
Well, you have to be coordinated. So I think that they've got their schedule well in advance.
Yeah.
So you know, because,
terrific,
you know, if you
idea.
Wanted to go to Torquay in a particular week, well, you know, you have to kind of be choosy about when when it's going to be there.
But it's a lot better.
And I've just said Torquay. I could say Warrnambool. I could say Lake St.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Cindy, the other thing, we're fast running out of time. We've covered the CFA, but we just need to mention we are coming into possible fire season. So, and no matter how good the CFA are, and you and I know they are terrific people, they can't have a truck out the front of every property, can they? So it's up to each and every person to make sure they've got the rubbish cleared away, haven't got stuff running right up the house and all that, don't they?
That's right. Look at where your leaves blow. Make sure that they're not away from next to the house. Firewood, long grass, all of that's really important because you're not going to have someone knock at your door to say, hey, listen, you need to evacuate now when they're trying to put out fires. We need to be vigilant as well. You need to look at your app. You need to look at the sky to just on those rotten days just to see whether you see any smoke and to be proactive.
And maybe get away. The other problem is that no matter how much I'd love to have, there is no possibility of having a truck at every place. I mean, they've got to be in 100 different places.
Yeah, there's only so many trucks. There's only so many volunteers that are on those trucks as well. Yeah. And one of the key things for the brigades is that when you've got a local brigade, they know the local area, they know the roads, they know how to fight moving fires. You know, when all your experience is in the city, the fires don't move. They might move from this building to the next building, but you're not chasing them down a gully or anything like that where you know, watching for it to burn or lightning strikes and stuff.
Cindy, unfortunately, time, we've got to go. Thank you for being with us again and we'll talk to you next month.
We will indeed.
Thank you.